In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Just a few minutes ago, you heard us sing, "As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ," rather than the usual, "Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal." And if you study the Old Testament, you know that there are often things that were done in the Old Testament as part of their worship, or things that they did to commemorate various things. And they would talk about, "And if your son shall ask, why are you doing this, you shall say." Well, there's a lot of things in our worship that we do normally, but then once in a while it changes. And it changes because you should ask, well, why are we doing that today as opposed to all the other Sundays? Why are we singing that hymn? Well, there are certain days of the year, traditionally, when people were baptized. In the early church, when they had a great number of catechumens in just about every church, there were several times during the year where they would receive catechumens and baptize them, and this was one of those days. Also, Holy Saturday, Lazarus Saturday, and Christmas and Theophany. These are all days that people were traditionally baptized on. What does it mean for us to be baptized? Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That's Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, that's from St. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, after the people were wondering why they were speaking in these strange languages, and he began to proclaim to them the truth of the gospel. In that verse, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So it's necessary for us to repent, and it's necessary for us to believe if we are to be baptized. But you might ask, what about infants? Because many of us have been baptized as infants, or we've had children and we've baptized them as infants. And so some people would object and say, well, an infant's not capable of repenting or believing. Well, one thing I would say is I'm not sure that we really know spiritually what infants are capable of. Because if you read the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we read about how the archangel Gabriel foretold to the father of St. John the Baptist, righteous Zechariah, that St. John the Baptist shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And then when St. Elizabeth met the Theotokos, who by that time already had Christ in her womb, we're told that St. John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. And so that infant, even still in his mother's womb, was capable of discerning certain things spiritually, and we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And so we can't really say what a child is capable of spiritually. But the other thing that we have to understand is that the biblical worldview is not nearly as individualistic as our culture has become. We are part of a family, and our family makes decisions on our behalf that affect us. That's just an observable reality. Now, it's true if you were born into a pagan family, when you reach an age where you come to believe the gospel, you can change and become a Christian. And so what we would say is that you have been recapitulated. In other words, you've come from underneath the headship of Adam and you've come under the headship of Christ. And so the fact that you were part of a family that was unbelievers no longer governs your future destiny. You've made a decision to change that. But when we're born into a righteous family, our parents make decisions for us. And in the Old Testament, male children were circumcised on the eighth day. St. Paul tells us that baptism is the circumcision or made without hands. That's Colossians chapter 2, 11. And so baptism is the sign of entry into the new covenant. And our parents can make that decision for us because they certainly made it for their children in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 14, it says, "And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." This is talking about the child breaking the covenant. And obviously a child on the eighth day didn't sit up and say, "I don't want to be circumcised. I'm choosing to break the covenant." His parents made a decision on his behalf. But because his parents made that decision on his behalf, if he wasn't circumcised, we're told that he was cut off from the people of God until such time as there was amends made to that problem. When we are baptized, we first renounce Satan and all his works and all his service and all his pride, and we pledge ourselves to Christ. We confess the faith, and then as St. Paul says in Romans, we are buried with Christ in baptism so that we can be raised with him. And when we are buried with him in baptism, we become dead to sin. We are united with Christ and should therefore live every moment of every day thereafter for him. Now, if you were an infant, you didn't personally renounce Satan, but your godparent did that on your behalf. They made that decision for you. They promised that you would do that. Now, some of us have really good godparents that made sure that we stuck to that, and some of us have godparents that really haven't done very much for us. But we have our own responsibility to live up to those promises that were made on our behalf, because we are bound by them just as surely as if we had been an adult and made them ourselves. Christ said in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." This means that when we are baptized, we haven't just punched our ticket and that we have nothing more to do. We are made disciples of Christ. And that means that we have to be students of Christ, devoted to him, constantly learning the faith, learning how we can better serve him, and following his example. And as disciples of Christ, we have to learn to observe whatsoever thing God has commanded us, and likewise to teach others to do the same. To be a disciple means that we go out and we make disciples. If we will simply live out what we have promised at our baptism, we will be filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. We have to renounce Satan every day. We have to die to sin every day. We have to unite ourselves to Christ every day and become his disciples and constantly work at that and observe and teach others to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. And if we do so, he will be with us always, and his Spirit will abide in us and cleanse us of every impurity and save our souls. Amen.